Welcome to the Paul to Timothy Institute podcast. I'm Dr. Mike Oney. Hey, we are in the middle of a series that is simply titled Destiny. And we're talking about four paths that all of us have to travel if we are going to find and fulfill our individual destiny. Now, I know that most of you are ministry leaders. I can tell you, you're going to help people find and fulfill their destiny by understanding these four pathways as well. What are they? Number one is we have to know certain things about our destiny. We have to know we've been chosen by God. We have to know that we've been chosen for significant kingdom purposes, and we have to know that we have been designed by the Lord to be very fruitful, to impact many. So there's a focus on what we have to know. Secondarily, what we have to discern. Discerning what God is doing right now in your life. Thirdly, we have to know what to do. And fourthly, we have to know what to protect. Now, you know this as well as I do. Many people fail to find and fulfill their individual destiny. Jesus made that very clear in a very short verse of the Bible, Matthew 22, verse 14. For many are called, Jesus said, but few are chosen. When we fail to live in the present with God, that means that we're living in the past or we're living in the future. But characteristically, when people live in the past and live in the future, you would know this from your own life. I know it from my own life. I know it from working with people that are struggling to find and fulfill their individual destiny. When folks live in the past or in the future in a very dominant way in their heart and mind, fear easily takes root in their life. Fear of the past that tells them that, man alive, you're disqualified from really moving into God's plan for your life, or living in the future, which means that you're constantly measuring your abilities against the circumstances and even people that you're facing. I love the words of Helen Mollycoats in a poem that she wrote, very popular poem. Matter of fact, when she was living, she tended to get some kind of response every single week of her life related to how much this particular poem meant to them. Helen Mollycoats wrote this: I was regretting the past and fearing the future. Suddenly, my Lord was speaking. My name is I Am. He paused. I waited. He continued. When you live in the past with its mistakes and regrets, it is hard. I am not there. My name is not I was. When you live in the future with its problems and fears, it's hard. I am not there. My name is not I will be. When you live in the moment, it is not hard. I am here. My name is I am. Many people miss finding and fulfilling their destiny because they're consumed with a past that often generates guilt, and they are consumed with the future, which often generates fear about being able to do something. You and I can never enter into God's destiny without discerning the present priorities of the Holy Spirit in our life right now. That is such a major, major point of emphasis for you that are mentoring leaders. You have to help them enter into the season that they are in right now. Whatever is going on, God has a set of priorities, and it is only by entering into the present voice of the Holy Spirit in the season for whatever it is that we're facing that we can find and fulfill our destiny. You know, immediately following the teaching of the parable of the sower, Jesus went into a few things about the kingdom. But just a couple verses down from the parable of the sower, where he's talking about honoring the voice of God in your life, in Mark 4, 24 and 25, he said this, and he was saying to them, take care what you listen to. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you, and more will be given you. Besides, for whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Let me simplify the emphasis today about what we have to discern about our destiny. We have to discern the present emphasis of the Holy Spirit. And I want to share with you this promise. If you will help others prioritize the voice of God in their present, they will enter in to finding and fulfilling their individual destiny. Let me talk about a couple things here related to that. First is this: help your leaders, help your followers prioritize the present voice of the Holy Spirit of God in their life. In the last hours that Jesus spent with his leaders, let me give you a verse of scripture that he emphasized with them. John 14, verse 21, "The one who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me, and the one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will reveal myself to him." Know this truth about destiny. Your destiny is not something that you self-determine. What a huge mistake that is. Destiny is not self-determined. Destiny is God revealed. Well, how does that come? By an individual that honors in obedience the present emphasis of the Holy Spirit. When Moses was finishing talking to the children of Israel, he is about to die. The Lord has let him know that he is not going to enter into the promised land with the children of Israel. He gave them this advice in Deuteronomy 32, verse 47. He said, "These instructions," and he's going through this present emphasis of obedience. He said, "These instructions are not empty words. They are your life." Do you catch that? When God speaks, you're not learning something about God. You are encountering God Himself. It was the Reverend Everett Howard who spent 36 years as a missionary. It's James Dobson who shared his story in the book Stories of the Heart and Home. Everett Howard had become a missionary to the Cape Verde Islands. Again, he spent 36 years there. And after that time, he came back and would share his story about how God helped him find and fulfill his destiny. When he was 16 years old, he knew that the Lord had called him into ministry leadership. He just didn't know what in the world to do about that or how in the world to move into ministry. And so he did what he thought would honor God and allow God to reveal himself to him. He took a piece of paper and went to the altar of his church in private time, just he and that piece of paper alone in the altar. And he wrote a list, and he wrote down everything he could possibly think of that would honor God. And he knelt there, laid the piece of paper on the altar, and he waited for something miraculous, and nothing happened. Until there was just a voice in his heart that said, "You're going about this all wrong. I'm not asking you to make a list." Do you catch it? The Lord was saying, "I'm not asking you to self-determine. I'm asking you to allow me to reveal." And the Lord spoke to him and said, "I'd like you to take a blank piece of paper. I'd like you to write your name at the bottom of it. I'd like you to lay that onto the altar, and I would like you to allow me in the moment to write what is needed from you." After 36 years of serving as a missionary in the Cape Verde Islands, he said this, He said, "Maybe I'm glad that I didn't know what was going to be written on the page. Things like lying sick in the lowly mountains of the Cape Verde Islands, burning up with fever with no medicine and no doctor in the closest hospital more than 3,000 miles away. Or the famine, when almost a third of the population in our part of the country had starved to death. When money wasn't coming through and we had 9 months without a single check or penny, and everything that we owned had to be sold in order to live." That wasn't written on the page until the time came. But you know, there was no depression. Those were the most blessed days because God was there. I'd like you to follow His example because it's what Jesus taught. "The one who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me," John 14:21, "and the one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him." The first priority is to give huge focus to the present tense voice of God of what He's doing now. And then the second thing is, when you're struggling to say, and to answer the question, what is God emphasizing in my life? Can I encourage you to ask 5 questions about your relationship with the Lord? Number 1, is Jesus really Lord of all? Secondarily, am I honoring God in the way that I'm serving my family? Ask this question as well. Am I honoring my church in the way that I am committed and connected to them? Fourthly, am I honoring the leaders in my life? Can I just tell you, many people are trying to answer what God wants them to do, and they should be answering the question of who God wants them to associate with. Because many, many times in a person's life that God is developing, who precedes what? Am I honoring the leaders God has given me? Fifthly, am I serving where God has already placed me? I've watched people that they feel like God is dealing with me and they start resigning everything that they're doing. I think that that often happens in an individual that is immature, that is carnally motivated, and they feel an immediate relief when they back up from commitments because they feel pressure. And when they back up, they immediately feel relief and they say, aha, God was in that. No, many times that is simply not the case. Many times people are simply squirming under the sense of responsibility, and God is asking them to learn the lesson that self-dependence will lead you to nothingness, but rather learning dependence under a burden of responsibility will lead you to God dependence. 2 Corinthians is recurringly speaking that message. Let me share with you what might be a little bit of an odd illustration to you, but it's not. It was an individual that God was preparing for ministry leadership, but they were really, really not simply underprepared, they were malprepared. In other words, they're doing all the wrong stuff. Jimmy Evans shares so transparently about his role in his home, because for him to go and become an effective ministry leader, he needed to get his marriage in order. He had to focus on the present tense emphasis of the Spirit. Jimmy shared years ago how his marriage came to the brink of divorce, and he went in and repented to his wife, Karen, and that really took her by surprise because he had been so golf-driven, the game golf-driven, for so many years. He said, "It almost destroyed my marriage." And one night, Karen confronted him, and Jimmy just unloaded on her. And she went crying into the bedroom, and Jimmy headed downstairs, dropped down into the recliner in the living room, and just cried out, "God, please help me." And his mispriorities in his marriage relationship, in his case, ignoring his wife. He sat there in his recliner and with that simple prayer, "God, please help me. He said, scales dropped from my eyes. And he said, I saw immediately I was a selfish idiot. I was a jerk in my marriage. I had so abused Karen. I woke up spiritually and realized what I had done. He said, for 5 years of marriage and 3 years of dating, I never one time ever told that girl that I was sorry about anything. And he went up and he said, sweetheart, he said, I am sorry for what I have done. Took her absolutely by surprise. He said, at that point in time, our marriage was, in his words, plumb out of love. He said, we didn't have any emotions left for each other. We didn't have any good feelings about one another at that time. But he looked her in the eyes and he said, Karen, I am going to change. He said, I had to repent over the next several days. He said, sweetheart, I fell into it again. I'm so sorry again. I'm so sorry again. But he never turned loose of the voice of God that said to him, you're a jerk. You're doing all the wrong things, and you need to prioritize your marriage, your relationship, and you need to learn how to love and serve your wife. That was a changing point. Can I just share with you? Listen to me closely now. Whatever area of your life that God is asking you to prioritize, your obedience to Him will cause three things to happen. Number one is when you move into 100% obedience in the moment, in the season, God is going to reveal Himself to you. John 14:21, Jesus said, the one who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me, and the one who loves me will be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will reveal myself to him. Let me give you the second thing that's going to happen. The Father is going to abide fully in your life. Jesus said in John 14:23, if anyone loves me, he will follow my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Let me give you a third promise. When you are 100% focused on your obedience in the season you are in now, you are going to be abundantly fruitful. John 15:5. Again, this is all within just a few verses of each other. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Your obedience in the season that God has to you now leads to the revelation of God, the abiding of God in your life, and the abundance of fruit in your life. It will come simply because you have learned the priority of entering into your destiny by prioritizing the present emphasis of God's voice now. This is Mike Oney, president of Paul to Timothy Institute, encouraging you head over to paultotimothy.com and take a look at some of the resources that we've made available to you as a ministry leader. It's at paultotimothy.com. Looking forward to our next time together when we'll do the next segment of this series simply titled Destiny.